Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. As we face the issues, we invite you to call. I do a brief monologue. After the monologue, we open our telephone lines and ask you to join in the dialogue and discussion. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about an issue today that I think should be a wake-up call for every Christian. A wake-up call. You know, many times from the Christian perspective, there's the mindset, if there's a problem, just leave it alone. God will take care of it. Don't worry about it. It'll go away. Or other thinking, well, it doesn't affect me. It's not at my front door. It's not caused me to lose my job. I've not lost an hour's sleep as a result of it, so I'm not going to worry about it. Multitudes of Christians feel that way when it comes to election. There's the mindset that I don't know any of the candidates. I don't know what to do or what to say. I just am apathetic. I'm not going to even vote. Well, perhaps that's the reason we're in the condition we're in today in America. It's simply because of apathy, a sense of, I don't care. I'm talking about today, the issue, simply silent no more. Silent no more. I think it's time for Christians to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. One Islamic imam made the statement just in the past few days that it will either be bullets or the ballot box in this election. Bullets or the ballot box. Well, a number of years ago, I published a book entitled Revolution. We will have a revolution in America. Will it be the ballot box? Or will it be coming out of Islam and its control? It should be a biblical mandate for every Christian, for every child of God, to stand up and speak up. Stop being silent. Let our voices be heard, both literally and figuratively, at the ballot box. We're going to be talking about today Christian persecution. Some say, well, I don't see any Christian persecution. After all, President Trump's done a wonderful job trying to relieve the persecution of Christians in America. Under sleepy Joe Biden, the autopen Biden, and his bureaucracy that was controlling America, the FBI was given a directive, 32-page directive from the DOJ under the Biden administration. If any parent goes before the school board challenging the school board in relationship to the sodomite agenda, the pornography agenda in the classrooms and in the teaching, that parent would be considered a domestic terrorist. Now, those days have been relieved. We're no longer seeing parents being persecuted because of standing for morals and ethics and values. But we still witness today in America Christian persecution. A good illustration of that, I've got an article that I'll open with. Headline, America no longer the safe haven for persecuted Christians, according to Open Door Research. The article reads, International Religious Freedom Advocates Group released a joint report Wednesday warning that the number of persecuted Christians are being resettled into the United States from other countries where they face most persecution still hover near historic lows, even as much of society has regained a sense of normalcy. The Christian persecution watchdog organization Open Door teamed up with the evangelical humanitarian agency World Relief to release the latest edition of Closed Doors report. It goes on to say, recent shifts in U.S. policy reveal that America is no longer the safe haven for displaced persons that once were persecuted in their own land. I could go on and on. It's a five-page article. Another headline says, yes, Christians are being persecuted in America. Here's our own report and how we should respond. The article reads in part, despite what some may claim, Christians are being persecuted in America. That might be hard to hear, but it's true. Even though the United States is arguably the freest nation on the planet and offers the First Amendment protection, Christians still face already an increasing persecution here between our shining seas. We need to recognize this and prepare for it to get worse. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't write that article. I didn't say that. Those that have done the research said that. And what we see, we ought to be cognizant of the fact that this is increasing in America. This is the reason, as we face the issues each and every day, ladies and gentlemen, I encourage us to do so based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Look at everything that's happening locally, statewide, nationally, internationally, globally. See it, view it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word tell us? For example, I'm looking at Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, that is intelligence, and vain deceit, that is using empty words, and after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We need to be aware, many times, from the Christian perspective, there's a closed door, a closed eye, a closed mind as to where it's coming from. I believe that we need to recognize what is happening and be silent no more. Now, some say, well, Christians ought not to talk about that. Christians ought to just talk about God's love. Christians ought to just talk about loving Jesus and preaching the gospel and embracing all that the world has to offer and saying that one day it's all going to be all right. All of those things may be true, but nevertheless, it does not in any way detract from the fact that as Christians, we need to stand up and speak up. You didn't see in the scripture anything where the Apostle Paul, Peter, Daniel, or others simply bowed to what the government might demand and allowed that to be a juggernaut bulldozer over what God would have them to do. God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for me. God's got a plan for the Christian. God's got a plan for the church. And I think it's time that we as Christians recognize it. Jesus, speaking in John 8:31 and 32, said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117, verse 2 says the truth of the Lord endures forever. Ladies and gentlemen, that's as I say often, that's a pretty soft pillar to place your head on, is to realize the truth of the Lord endures forever. Yet, according to George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in the dystopian novel entitled 1984, by the way, was published in the late 40s, made this statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I'm finding that to be more and more factual, truthful each and every day. There's the mindset that if you speak the truth, you're my enemy. The Apostle Paul dealt with that in Galatians, the 4th chapter. He said, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Multitudes today will look at truth tellers as enemies. In fact, you recall the day, not too many years ago, where if you questioned COVID, if you questioned the origin, if you questioned efficacy of the death shots that were offered called vaccines, you were called spreading disinformation, misinformation, etc., etc. Persecution and prosecution took place. Multitudes around the nation, across the nation, in the medical field that questioned the CDC protocol, lost their license, lost their medical practice. Multitudes in the military were forced out because they refused to take the death jab. ladies and gentlemen, we are able to look back with clear perspective as to what took place when there was a persecution and a prosecution for not falling in line with what the official position would be. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the official position in the world today is that it is Satan is the prince of the power of the air. The official position in the world today is that Christians are to be looked at in some fashion as being second-class citizens. Christians need to recognize, conservatives need to review and understand, patriots need to stand up with us and say, enough is enough. There's a mindset among multitudes today that are the millennials, according to the latest survey. 55% of the millennials say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Their position is, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. Another headline says Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. So as we stand on truth, ladies and gentlemen, don't believe that somehow, some way, because you're standing on truth, that the road is going to be easy. Especially as a Christian, the road will not be easy. We're climbing uphill. We're facing the enemy. And it's the unseen demonic enemy, the devil's emissaries that's loosed in the world today, that's trying to tear down and destroy what God wants to do in the Christian life. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge every day on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of brands like Echo and Honda for the homeowner brand. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. You say, how do I find that? Ladies and gentlemen, it's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me repeat a statement that I made just a moment ago. I want it to be the emphasis to carry through with the broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, a recent Islamic imam said, it will be bullets or the ballot box. We should, I believe, sit up and take notice. I believe we need to listen. If they tell us that, we need to believe them. There are a lot of people today that are saying that the Islamics are just flexing the muscles. They can do nothing. Someone said that we would never have to worry about Islam controlling America. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize in the 2024 election, over 800 Islamic jihadists were running for different offices in America? I cannot tell you how many were elected to those offices. They're bragging about now for the 2026, next 120 days, election for November, that there's 1,100 that will be running for offices across America. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, what is taking place. Give me one more moment. We're going to complete a brief monologue, then we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we've witnessed Christian persecution in America, but multitudes do not understand the depth and the breadth of it. Let me just read you a basic review produced by the U.S. Department of Justice. It says, subtitle, Overview of Christian Persecution in America. Christian persecution in the United States is often discussed in the context of perceived bias against Christian beliefs and practices. This perception has been fueled by various political and social developments over the years. The key findings are simply this. Government Policies, says April 2026 highlighted claims of anti-Christian bias in politics, policies, and persecutions during the Biden administration. Subtitle again, Restoration of Religious Liberty. The Trump administration's position, its actions, and efforts to restore religious liberty for Christians, claiming to counteract the alleged anti-Christian bias of the previous administration. Cultural shifts. Many conservative Christian groups argue that the changes in societal norms, particularly regarding issues like gender and sexuality, have marginalized Christian values in America. Secondly, political rhetoric. The narrative of Christian persecution has been prevalent in political discourse, especially among certain evangelical groups who feel that their beliefs are under attack by the government policies and societal changes. Another portion of this document says incidents of violence. There have been notable incidents of violence increased against places of worship, which some cite as evidence of growing hostility toward Christianity. Finally, this article says global context. While discussing Christian persecution in America often focus on political and cultural issues, it's important to recognize that Christians face severe persecution all over the world. According to reports, over 388 million Christians globally experience high levels of persecution and discrimination simply because of their faith. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that should set the standard. That should set the table as to where we're going and what we're talking about. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. I tell you, you're going to reap what you sow. If you do not vote in this election, you're going to reap what you sow. You're going to start crying. Well, God's supposed to take care of it. No. Just like he told Joshua. Joshua, I'm giving y'all the land. I'm giving you the land. But you're going to have to fight for it. So that means you got to get out and vote and fight to keep this republic a republic instead of turning into a social system. Mandami, I think he's going to try to run for president too.
Well, he doesn't qualify unless the Democrats try to rig the situation, because he's not a natural-born citizen at all. In fact, one of the things that is fascinating when you look at that, now that you bring that up, Kenneth, is the fact that he is on the fast pace of condemning, marginalizing Christians and Jewish people in New York City. He is Islamifying New York City faster than I believed it would be possible. With five times a day, the call to prayer on the loudspeakers that everybody's got to tolerate. He now has, he says that with the homeless people, he cannot remove them from the streets. Now with the open homelessness in New York City, homeless tents, shelters, cardboard boxes, etc., are being set up in the lobbies of state buildings, state buildings, governmental office buildings, where they just go in and possess it. And Madame said, when questioned about that, he said, oh, I would be violating their civil rights if I remove them from the streets. He is destroying New York City. I understand that about $11 billion in investment money has already left New York City just since he went into office. And he's making it very, very clear with the Islamic jihadist, socialist, Marxist, communist that he's sponsoring, and several of them have recently been elected in the primaries. He's making it known, and he's becoming the flagship across America for those other city states that's running the Islamic jihadist, Marxist, communist, Democrat party candidates. So with that being said, it trickles down to what I'm saying today. Christians ought not to be silent anymore. I'm saying, listen, Kenneth, let me speak to you and to those listening beyond just the two of us talking. If I'm talking with someone, you're in a church where the pastor doesn't have the spine to talk about the political issues and the social issues and what's happening to Christendom, what's happening to our churches, what's happening to our cities, what's taking place in relationship to the ultimate goal by the Islamic jihadist and the socialist, Marxist, communist to destroy our constitutional republic, Find your church where you can find out what's happening, and it will align with the Scripture. I believe that when we talk about expository preaching, teaching the Word of God verse by verse and word for word, we need to look at what was happening in that culture, that setting when that was written, how it applies today, what we as Christians ought to do, and you'll not find any place where the Christian is supposed to remain silent, say nothing, and do nothing, and allow this to take place to destroy our citizenship in America. Christians have a dual citizenship in America and in heaven, and we need to honor the dual citizenship with what we do. Kenneth, it deserves our prayer, and I'm praying that our listeners today will recognize the urgency of the call to be silent no more. Silent no more. We need to let our voices be heard at the ballot box, and not as the imam, Islamic imam, said, that we're at the point of bullets or the ballot box. He's saying we're either going to take over by the ballot box or we're going to take over by jihad. And I'm going to talk about jihad in just a moment. What is it? What does it mean? Is it real? Is it something we need to be concerned about? Kenneth, thank you, brother, for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, silent no more. That's my call today. That's my challenge today. We look at it, if Christians and conservatives say anything about the Islamic jihadist, we're called bigots. We're called Islamophobics. We're simply called racist. We're the bad guy. We're the enemy if we openly speak out. Well, can I just be young blood honest? I'm fed up with it. I'm fed up with the silence from those that ought to be speaking up. I'm fed up with the silence. We have preachers that have a voice that's being heard nationally and internationally. There are just two or three that I hear that's willing to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, dealing with the culture, dealing with the civil government, dealing with what God's Word says, and challenging Christians to speak up and be heard. I don't mind calling the name of one of them, Jack Hibbs out of California. He's a man after my own heart. I said, God, may his tribe increase. Taking a stand as a Christian ought to, as pastors ought to. I believe that God calls us to be the watchman on the wall. We look at the scripture in the Ezekiel text, in Ezekiel 33. We need to stand up, speak up, be heard. Warning of danger to come. And that's where we ought to stand even today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. It is one that is sad, but it needs to set the stage for where we are. It is from Jay Sekulow, the executive director of ACLJ. It says, in the Congo, Islamic jihadists are conducting a village-by-village extermination of all Christians. And just the last 3 weeks, 76 Christians were hunted down, slaughtered, beheaded, executed in groups, and dragged from their homes. Over 1,200 believers have been massacred in recent months. Their ultimatum is savage. Deny Christ or die. In Nigeria, ISIS terrorists slaughtered dozens as they bowed their heads in prayer. A beloved math teacher, 8 other Christians were beheaded. 50 innocent children, most under 5, were all abducted. And just last Sunday, 22 Christians, including a physician and 5 patients, were massacred as gunmen moved through the town calling out names before opening fire. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're witnessing today. And some are saying, well, it can't happen in America. Ladies and gentlemen, the Trojan horse is already in the city, already in the gates, already operating today. I said for the past 20, 25 years, warning of the danger to come. I've repeated the mantra hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. If you want to know what America will look like in the next few years, look at Europe. Look at the UK. Look at London. London is 100% controlled today by Islam. Most of Europe is more and more being controlled by Islam. Just in the past few months to a year, I'm told that 250,000 little girls, citizens of the nation, white girls in particular, and young ladies have been raped by the roving mobs of Islamic jihadist men. Courts doing nothing. Police doing nothing. The women were just told, stay inside. Don't be seen. ladies and gentlemen, in most of the UK today, Sharia law rules, not civil government. When they try to do something occasionally, they find that they're outvoted in the parliament by the Islamics, that they cannot do anything. But ladies and gentlemen, in America, and I don't have time to go back and review each and every case, but you remember the baker that refused to bake a sodomite wedding cake, persecuted and prosecuted for over 10 years. His case went to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court, I think, did the wrong thing. They reverted it back to the Supreme Court, the state of Colorado. Colorado then took a new angle and started prosecuting and persecuting on another binge against him. Went back to the Supreme Court to finally get relief over 10, almost 11-year period of time. We had a Christian, have had Christian photographers prosecuted, persecuted as a result of refusing to do sodomite weddings. We had a Christian florist out of, I believe it was out of California, California, Arizona, I believe it was California, that as a result of refusing to prepare flowers for a sodomite wedding, persecuted and prosecuted, put out of business, and almost destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, in the UK today, Christians, conservatives, are persecuted and prosecuted. If, listen, in the UK, Christians and conservatives, if they put anything on social media questioning their own government, questioning anything about the control of the Islamic jihadist in their nation, they are summoned to court, they are fined, persecuted, prosecuted. And in one case just a few months back, a pastor was sentenced to 4 years in prison simply for challenging, politely so, on social media, what was happening in his nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand the position that we're in today. I'm looking at a headline, not an oversight, publishers and libraries are scrubbing Christianity out of the American story. A generation that does not know where their freedoms come from will not know why those freedoms are worth fighting for. Now that's the opening sentence in this three-page article. A study has confirmed that that libraries and publishers are working on cleansing Christianity out of the American story. The study published recently, the American 250th Faith Gap, and reviewed more than 300 books and 25 reading lists, say that there's no such thing in any of the books talking about faith, Christianity, the role of Christianity in the founding of America. Ladies and gentlemen, yet these same books are filled with pornographic material and encouraging Islamic beliefs, encouraging Islamic jihadists and what they're doing, if you will. I believe it's time that as Christians we stop being silent, as conservatives stop being silent. I believe it's time that we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, while we yet have the freedom to do so. It's a major, major call. I realize that. And I realize in the next 120 days, in the midterm election, if Christians fail to vote by the numbers that we should vote, we will lose our constitutional republic. Now, you've heard me say that many times before. I'll continue to say that until the election is over and see what God does in the election. I believe it's time, ladies and gentlemen, we stop being silent, that we stand up and speak up. This article says, in these books, nowhere is there a title directly addressing religious liberty and the Christian role in the founding of America. That's even though the First Amendment deals specifically with religious rights. Ladies and gentlemen, silence no more. I believe it's time Christians stop being silent. We're going to talk about the Islamic jihadist movement in America today. We're going to talk about the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic parties movement today and what is taking place. And then you'll ask the question, well, what should I do? How should I respond? We need to pray, seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, ask God to heal our lands, and vote. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we stop being silent as Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ-FM, Orange Park. WAYL-FM, St. Augustine. WATY-FM, Folkston. WMUV-HD3,